we're just grateful that it is that season. Great is the Lord, and great is he to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same sun. Our Lord and our God is worthy to be praised. I just want you to know that we are moving forward in the things of God. We're moving forward into what God wants us to do, for he has done great, he has done mighty things, and he is worthy to be praised. I want you to know that we're continually to pray for you and your family, believing that God is doing great things and covering you. We know that so many times we're just in a trying time, we're in the trying season, but we know that when we stand fast in the mindset of faith, and our hearts and our minds are convinced that God is going to take care of us. You might be shaken by some things, but please do not allow the enemy to shake your faith and your confidence in God, knowing that God is in total control over every situation in our lives. And sometimes when it seems like things are not moving the way you want them to move, we got to stand on that word. We got to stand on his promises. We got to stand on his name. The name of the Lord, Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and we are safe. There's something about the fact to have the consolation of peace, to know that you are safe in the arms, in the presence, in the will, in the word of God. I'm just thinking about how so many times there's so many people, families, and I'm dealing with a lot of different people who perhaps are going through some situations. Many are very serious. Many are very trying. Many are being tested. But I just want you to know that our help, our protection, our safety, our victory is all in the name of Jesus. So when you don't know what else to say, when you don't know what else to do, when you don't know where else to go, you can stand on the promises of God, fully understanding that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. And if he spoke it, he will definitely make it good. I am just excited about just for a few moments tonight to share something with you. The question comes up now that God wants me to be able to share with you. Just a little thought. I want to come from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, and I'm going to read from verse 8. 1 Kings, chapter 17, I might begin reading from verse 8. We speak blessings over you. We speak blessings and covering over your family. God, let this word go deeply into our spirit to where it resonates to us, to where we grab a hold of faith, and we thank you that it shall be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 1 Kings 17 and 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her, talking about Elijah, and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me and make an after mate for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Read that again. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want to take a few moments to share with you this. How to survive in a famine. How to survive in a famine. Sometimes you got to understand that in order for us and for many people, it has been a very interesting season. Matter of fact, what's so unusual about the time? It appears as if though the days to me, I'm saying to myself, we have about 11 days, 12 days left in the month of April, and we'll be in the fifth month of the year. What is so amazing about this year is that even though we've been dealing with social distancing, and maybe it's just my mindset because of all the different types of challenges and living life out of our normal element, the chaos, the tragedy, the different things that are going on in our economy, around our world, the news seems to be so driving us in such a way until it appears as if though the days, to me, are simply going faster. That's just to me. And as if though we are going through situations in our lives, one of the things I have to make note of is, without a doubt, this pandemic, without a doubt, our economy, without a doubt, we're living in a new era by which I believe and you believe, most of us, that it will never be the same. Everybody's talking about going back to normal. I don't believe that there'll ever be a never normal by which what we used to know normal as. Matter of fact, there's no way you and I can go through a season like this historically around the world and remain normal. Your faith, your walk with God, your mindset, your planning, your goals, your dreams, your future, your now, shifting away from your past. You cannot allow what we are dealing with now to even take you back to things that used to be, because we're in a season of transformation. We're in a season of transfiguration. In other words, God is literally taking us to places to where we can now see him in a totally different light. So I have to make sure that before I get into this text, we have to understand that there is a famine. And the famine is not just from the virus. I believe there has been a famine for true worship. I believe there's been a famine for the purity of worship. I believe there's been a famine to some degree of the sound of prayer in such a way where our prayer life is not 80% possessions, 80% possessions. We want our prayer life to get to where the hunger becomes for God and his presence, and to understand that God is above and beyond and should be the priority of the prayer life. And as we move forward in this, and as we move forward in the growth of a team, we have to understand that it's crucial that we must have the right behavior and the mindset when we're dealing with the unexpected season. And what do I do when something has happened in my life and all of a sudden, from one moment to the next, we now end up in some form of famine? And with this situation now that we're living in, it takes me to this text by which Elijah, the prophet of God, goes into the dwelling place of Ahab, who was the husband of Jezebel, and he walks into his presence and totally speaks out against the God that he serves and the God that Jezebel serves. He goes into them, which they serve the fertile God. They serve the God of rain. And he says to them, I am speaking the word of the Lord to you. He said, according to the word of the Lord, it will not rain. I'm going to read exactly what he said to you. He said, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah walks in and just said, look, it's not going to rain until I say so. Ahab, you can do what you want to do. You can serve your God. You can say what you want to say. And then after Elijah walks in and totally speaks out against the belief system and the God that was being served by Ahab and Jezebel, he goes and says this: it won't rain until I say so. Then he goes forth, and the Bible says that he goes down by the brook of Shereth, that is before Jordan, and then the Lord began to sustain him in the famine. Perhaps the famine hadn't gotten as bad yet, because it was by the brook of Shereth, and there will be a raven that will feed him there. The raven will bring food to Elijah. Everything is good, because right now Elijah has spoken the word of the Lord, and everything is well, and bread and flesh is being, you know, God is awesome when he can allow a raven to be able to lose his appetite to deliver something to his prophet. So Elijah now is in a place of hiding. He's in a place of hiding by which he can get room service twice a day. He has a raven feeding him in the morning and a raven feeding him in the evening. And now he's chilling out by the brook of Shereth. And then all of a sudden, he had to remember that he had spoke that it will not rain. So what happened is that the brook had a season. The room service had a season. The raven had a season. And it appears as if though, even though Elijah had said what the Lord had said, it appears as if though he spoke his own season of drought. Because now the brook dries up and God has to come back to him and understand that, hey, you said it wasn't going to rain. So what you are dealing with and what you are used to now and being in hiding, now there is a season by what you were enjoying has now dried up. I want to stop there for a moment, because I believe it's very important of the principle of Elijah, is that very few people can handle the hidden season of God. When God literally puts you in a place and he orders you to have divine provision. It might not be the room service you want. It might not be the meal you want. It might not be how he wants to do it. You would have never ordered a raven for bringing you food and bread and flesh. That's just not the way I imagined it to be, that God was going to take care of me. I just didn't know that what is happening in my life now that I could imagine that this is the way that I would have picked for myself for God to take care of me. And sometimes God will allow you to be in a place of hiding so he can show you without a doubt that I can take care of you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, because I'm the God that orchestrates and I'm the God that navigates the famine by which you might have to live through, but I also am the God that knows exactly what I'm doing in your life. So the brook dries up, and God said, I got to take you out of your comfort zone, Elijah. I have to make sure that while you enjoy being hidden, you also were enjoying that place. I got to shift you to another level of belief in me. He said, what I want you to do is I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to tell you that I want you to get up from here because your brook has dried up. There's no more water here. There's no more delivery here. What you've been used to, your job has dried up. The lifestyle has dried up. The way you were used to living has dried up. Because, see, what you need to understand is I'll never let you get to the point of complacency and become too comfortable with the element by which you were living in that was not requiring faith. God had a command unto the raven, and now God is getting ready to command unto the widow. But guess what? When Elijah was in the place of Shareth and he was in the comfort zone of being down by the brook and getting fed twice a day, there was no need for faith. There was no need for faith because everybody that was in the situation, Elijah had it right where he needed it to be. God was taking care of him. It was good. He was in hiding. He didn't have to worry about being killed by Ahab or Jezebel because now there's a famine, now there's a drought. But God said, well, what I got to do now is I got to get you up in this famine because right now you've gotten comfortable. You got comfortable. I got to get you up out of your norm. You done got comfortable working on that job. You done got comfortable maneuvering. You done got comfortable going to work. You done got comfortable getting your hair done. You done got comfortable getting your nails done. You got comfortable going to get some crab legs. You got comfortable getting the oxtails. You got comfortable. You've just gotten comfortable. You got comfortable. Your life is on such a schedule now. You could see, hey, 2 weeks I'm getting this. 2 weeks in a week I'm getting this. Nail done, manicure, pedicure. My life is just programmed. I've gotten comfortable about what I can do. I allot this for this. I go to the movies for this. I hit the mall for this. I hit the shops for this. You've gotten comfortable. God said, what you got to understand is that sometimes I will order a famine just to pull you back into the way I want you to live. And the just shall live by faith. And then he says, I commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to go down to Zarephath, go down to the place by which they refine things, go down to the city by which it is designed to refine metal, because what I want you to do is I'm going to send you to a place of refining, but yet I'm going to send you to a place where you're going to have to trust me. So when Elijah, in his imagination, probably said, I've sustained a widow woman to take care of you, Elijah. So Elijah probably, in his mind, probably thinking, well, just like the raven gave me what I need, and God's going to just put me in another place, and he's just going to take care of me. But it was not perhaps what he imagined, because when he walks into the city, he has a word from the Lord that I have sustained a widow woman. I've commanded her to sustain thee. Well, perhaps Elijah was thinking that this was going to be one of the bling-bling widow women that perhaps was married to a king, or perhaps was married to one of the CEOs of the smelting refinery. But he walks into a gate of the city, and then next thing you know, he has a widow woman gathering sticks. I find that very interesting that she was gathering sticks, not wood. She was gathering sticks, not wood. She was gathering sticks because if it was going to be a big meal, if it was going to be meat, if it was going to be something that needed a certain amount of heat to cook, she should have gotten wood. But because she was gathering sticks, it was an implication that there was not much to cook. There was not a whole lot left. And he called to her and said, fetch me. Now, Now, just even the language doesn't seem to be very honorable. Fetch me. I like to use the text this way. I just think I just got to go here. Y'all don't want me to go here, but I probably might as well should go here. When he said fetch me, first of all, most women in a famine, most widow women in a famine, when now she has not heard the instructions of a man for a while. Now, unless she was a widow woman. She was a widow woman and had lost the covering, had lost the help. See, most times she would not have to fetch the sticks, but here comes this man. This guy walks in town, and as soon as he walk in the city, he's telling me to fetch me. Now, you know, fetch me is not good language for somebody in a family. You know, fetch me won't work too good in the hood. Now, of course, he could not have been in the hood, and y'all ain't gonna like what I'm getting ready to say. She could not have been of the ethnicity by which I was born, because if he would have said fetch me, it would have been a problem right off the bat. But here it is now. When you're in a famine, you have to understand that the message might not come like you want it to come, but you got to hear what the command is saying. And he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Notice he said, first of all, just give me some water. See, it's easy to get something that I know that won't cost me that much to do. But when he said to her in verse 11, as she was going to fetch it, no problem. So you just want some water. He called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now, it's another whole level now, because now you're about to tap into sacrifice. See, I can get you some water. There's still a little bit of water left, but now you're asking me to get you a morsel of bread. He said, fetch that. And see, this another whole level now, because see, I'm really just, the water doesn't require no effort but the dip and to bring you the water, and I'm done. But when he said, fetch me and bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand, then here comes the real deal. Many times when God asks us to do something that's challenging or uncomfortable, then the story comes out. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. So I don't even have a cake, but I just have a little bit left. It's a famine now. It's a handful of meal in a barrel. I'm telling you, I'm being transparent with you, sir, and a little oil in the cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks. Look like you should have saw that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Lord have mercy. In the midst of a famine, you must be careful how you decree and declare based upon a perspective about where you are and not the faith about who has the command. She said, what I'm going to do is I'm just gathering these two little sticks. I'm going to cook me a little bread, and me and my son going to eat our last meal. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, Lord have mercy. And that right there is the cause of many people not making it in a famine. It's the fear of not really hearing God. When God will always ask us to do something that will challenge our faith. We got two types of faith here. Many times we look at this text and we just think it's the widow woman that has the faith. But really, Elijah is obeying. The man of God is obeying just simply by the request. Now, the raven had a command to come and just bring the food. Now, Elijah has to make the request to a situation that appears like it might not be there. He turns around. It's not a widow woman with bling and things. It's a poor widow woman that's gathering sticks. So he had to get past the compassion of his own mind, thinking that this request is too much. It doesn't seem like it's even humane to ask a woman who's just gathering sticks. So it's not that much there. But then when God commands something, you have to obey the command to make the request known. When it looks like something is out of something, when it looks like there's a shortage, when it appears appears to be a famine, the command of God is much stronger than the circumstances of appearance. You have to make sure in your mind that you're going to ask God, you're going to believe God, you're going to trust God in the situation that he has allowed. In this virus right now, there are so many situations. There are so many types of famines, spiritual famines, physical famines, famines for food, famines for essentials, just famines for favor and wealth, just famine after famine after famine. But when there's a command in the midst of the famine, you got to understand that the request must be made and the obedience must be made. Because not only was she anointed to hear the request, she was anointed to be transparent with the request, but yet still obey. Watch this woman, and I'm going to finish this, and I'm just about finished. She says, we're getting ready to eat and die. Elijah said, fear not. Fear not. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Mm-hmm. So he's gone from talking to the woman. I want you to hear this because this is powerful. He asked the request of the woman, and then he started talking to what was in her house. I wish somebody caught what I just said then. He made the request to the woman, but then he started talking to what was in her house. When she identified the problem, I'm going back to 12, she said, I have but a handful of meal. She started describing what was left in her house. She started describing the shortage that was in her house. And she said, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. I'm going to deal with that in a moment if you just stick with me. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Do as thou sayest. I'm not asking you not to fix the meal for you and your son, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Wait a minute. Just a word of the instructions have said there's going to be increase if you obey. She was planning for her and her son to die. Elijah, the man of God, says in the famine, you got to make sure that you hear the instructions of God. This is not the season for you to be playing around and lallygagging, as we say in the country, with the instructions of God. You got to trust God no matter what. You got to trust God when it doesn't make sense. If it's a command from God, you have to make sure that you follow the command, because there's increase in you following the command. There is a supernatural hit that can hit your life in the midst of this famine. Matter of fact, I truly believe that one of the greatest testimonies can be right now, when this all said and done with this coronavirus, COVID-19, when you said, you know what, I am in better shape now coming through this situation than I was before when I went in it. Now, let me finish this. He says to her, go ahead on and make the cake, but you're going to be able to have enough to make for me and thee. Right when she heard that and made the cake, she should have known then that something was about to happen. Elijah said, don't you fear. Just go ahead on and make me the cake first. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Lord have mercy. He got his eyes off the woman with her instruction and start speaking to what was in the house. Do you not know that whenever you're walking in the famine, God has the power to speak to what's in your house? Do you not know that the barrel had to obey the command? Do you not know that the cruse of oil, it says, the barrel shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail? Now, that's powerful right there, because it appears as if, though, it's no reason that the barrel should have listened. It's no reason that the cruise should have listened. I thought faith come by hearing. Look like to me God is so powerful and so sovereign that he can speak the things without ears, heart, mind, or soul, and tell it, you will not waste. You will not run out. Some of us right now wondering whether we're going to run out. We're wondering whether we're going to make it. I'm coming here tonight to let you know, not only you need to ask God to speak to you, you need to ask God to speak over what's in your house. You need to ask God to speak to it so he can extend it, breathe on it, and bless it supernaturally. Let me finish. I'm going to let you all go. He said, it shall not waste. It shall not waste. I'm here to let you know this is not the time to waste. This is not the time for you to become frivolously and just trying to just believe. This is not the time. I know some of y'all waiting on your little stimulus. Some of y'all gotten your little stimulus. God bless you. Consider it a blessing. But you can't waste. You're in a season now to where you got to ask God, speak to whatever I have. Speak to what I have left. Speak to what I need to do. Give me a strategy of what to do. God, give me a command. Command me what to do. The widow woman now says, we getting ready. He speaks to the crews. He speaks to the meal. He speaks to the oil. And he said, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went. Watch this. This is where it gets real good to me. And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. She obeyed the command. She decided that in the midst of this famine, I am not going to miss what God wants me to do. If he says pray an hour, you need to pray an hour. If he says worship 30 minutes, you need to worship 30 minutes. If he says listen to do this and listen to do that, you got to understand this, that if you're going to function in a famine, your logic cannot overtake the command. Your logic of whether or not it's a good idea or a God idea, you got to follow the instructions of God, because sometimes when you're in a tough season, the worst thing that can rule your life in a famine and a crucial season is the own emotions of your own logic. God will always actually do something that does not make sense. It would seem like it was just flat wrong for Elijah to ask this woman to make him a cake before she fed him and his son. What type of request? That is not compassion. God could not have said that. Let me tell you something. In every situation that you're facing now, your purpose, your destiny, God's provision depends on you pulling your mindset in the fact that I got to obey him prophetically even when I'm walking in this season. Let me close with this because it's getting ready to get real good. Because when you look in the text, if you look at the text real closely, verse 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of oil shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, here's the key, what Elijah said. And she, watch this now. This is where I just start praise when I read this. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And she, the woman, and he, Elijah, and her house. And her house. And her house. Wait a minute now. I thought she was just planning to just have a little meal for her and her son. It sounds like the widow, potentially, if you allow me theologically to dig a little deeper in the text, looked like to me it might have been some other people in that house, because she said, now, I'm going to get something to eat for me and my son. I don't know who else, even though the famine, and there ain't no social distancing in this famine. If some other people might be around the house. Perhaps the neighbor smelt some bread cooking. Perhaps the neighbor across the street smelt a little cake, because in my house, see, when you're hungry for something, you could smell the scent of something that's cooking, especially if it's God's bread. When God's bread brings a certain aroma of faith. That's why you got to hang around people. You got to hang around people who have God's bread on their mind. In other words, not the bread of negativity, not the bread of death, not the bread of defeat, but there's something about when God's bread gets blessed in the midst of a famine. The Bible says she and he and those that were in her house. In other words, when God assigns you for a miracle, your obedience to God in the famine will not only be enough for you, but it'll be enough for your whole house. I'm prophetically declaring, and you know I am careful how I just said I'm prophesying, because we have to be, this is the season right now, we cannot just be uttering things out of our emotions. But I'm going to prophetically declare that God not only is going to speak to you, he's going to speak to what's lacking in your house. I'm speaking in the realm of the spirit, that if you can obey him and praise him And number one, keep your faith in this season. Number two, keep your obedience in this season. And surely you got to keep your praise. Know what else you have to do? Is understand this, that if you have a mindset just to help or bless somebody else, God will always come and bless you as well. Hear what I'm saying at the word of the Lord. I am speaking to you right now saying you're going to survive this famine. I'm speaking to you right now and telling you God is going to take care of you. I'm telling you something further, that God is going to take care of you. God has already taken care of you, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. He created the famine so he can release a command, so he can ask you to do something in the midst of the famine. So when it's time for you to tap into the supernatural, that you will have obeyed what he wants you to do, and guess what? It will not waste. I'm telling you something right now, and I'm getting ready to pray for you, and I'm closing out. One thing for sure, that this famine has taught me to another whole level. You got to make sure that you just don't waste. Don't waste your time. Don't waste with negative words. Don't waste negative associations. You just can't waste. You can't waste what God puts in your hand. You can't become furious now and just decide that you just don't feel like doing what God. You cannot let anything, particularly your faith, go to waste. Been through too much. Had too many trials. Had too many tests. Done cried too many tears. Done dealt with too much shame. Dealt with too much pain for your process now to go to waste. Right now, I decree and I declare that your house will have bread in it. Your house will have oil in it. And whatever you need God to do, you're going to stand on his promises. You're going to stand on his word. You're going to obey him even if it's hard to do. Could you not hear the boy saying, "Mommy, Mommy, what are you doing? Mommy, what are you doing? Where's that cake going? Where's that morsel going?" It's first going to the command of God. And when she took him that cake, then she also had a cake for herself and her son. And when God used a man of God to speak to that barrel and speak to that cruise, everything around the house smelled bread. Notice, as I finish this, what God did. He never said he filled the barrel. He never said he filled the cruise with oil. What he said was, is it didn't waste. In other words, if God would have filled the barrel, then perhaps he would allow the woman to see a filled barrel and then false friends come around because the barrel is filled. Perhaps she would have wasted it by giving it away to neighbors who never liked her anyway, or people who would have just took it and wasted it. Perhaps God kept her in the position of dependency and faith to let her know, I'm going to bless you, but you can't waste it. I'm going to take care of you, but you can't waste it. And I'm telling you right now, whatever get in your hands, use the principle of the woman. She gave to God first, and then God blessed her house so there would be no waste. I'm getting ready to pray for you right now, because we're going to survive this famine. We're going to live a victorious life, and I decree and declare that you will come out better than what you started with. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. You're an amazing God, and you do amazing things. You're our God. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. You're our King. I ask you, God, to touch those first that are grieving, those that are overwhelmed, those that are hurting for the loss of their loved ones. Several are calling peace, prayer, amen, sending their requests. And I ask you to heal their hearts and their minds. Several situations to where they don't know where to go, don't know what to do. But God, I pray that that God of comfort, that God of strength, that God of help, the God of peace, would do what they need done in their lives. We pray for those who are working to help others, those who are sacrificing and jeopardizing their own health and their own life for others. I pray, God, you give them a blood covering from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. I pray now, God, for those who the enemy is trying to let live in stress, anxiety, and fear. We cancel every demonic spirit of fear. We cancel every satanic voice that wants us to live a life of defeat and fear. The Bible says fear hath torment. It's not from God. And we decree, God, that faith will dominate fear. I speak now, God, where there is lack and where the cruise and the oil seems to be running out. I command in the name of Jesus that you release a supernatural portion, oh God, that takes them to new levels of faith. I decree that you'll give us the strategy and wisdom not to waste. I decree and I declare that the anointing, oh God, wisdom will saturate our hearts and minds. I decree and I declare that the right connections, the right people, the right associations will be upon our lives so that we'll be better now than we ever been. And God, we're asking you, oh God, right now to save those who are lost. Deal with those who are broken. We cancel the spirit of suicide. We come against every spirit of heaviness. And we speak right now, God, that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Satan, I will reference you one time. You are already defeated, and the blood of Jesus is against you. We bind every intent of you, and we decree right now that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And God, we celebrate who you are. You're the God by the brook. You're the God when the brook dries up. You're the God that goes. You're the God that knows. And I decree and I declare that you've given angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways, and no evil shall befall us, and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. We praise your name for supernatural favor from the north, south, east, and west. We rest in the fact that you are our God. You are not just Jehovah Jireh. You're Jehovah everything. And we thank you for it being done in the precious, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to understand this, that you are going to make it in this and through this fame. Be blessed of the Lord. Be positive. Be prayerful. Obey his command and understand this. We win with God. God bless you. This is Pastor Jonathan. And I have a wonderful evening, amazing week. Believe in God. God bless.